Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cash and welcome to the Dork Forest. Intros are hard. I have a new album. You should be listening to it. I have a new hour. You could be watching it on YouTube, but I appreciate you listening to this, The Dork Forest. You could go to JackieCasia.com or TheDorkForest.com, and you can listen to it there. You can listen to it on wherever you're listening to it right now. You can watch it on YouTube separately, and that is where Altercation is also streaming. The album is available wherever you listen to any kind of album, and it's also on Bandcamp, which has a bunch of other, some very old Dork Forest that are free on that channel. Otherwise, you should know that the Dork Forest is, I don't have a Patreon, so feel free to donate. If you have $100 a year, I would love $100 a year from everybody. You can hand me a sweaty wad of 20s when you come and see me do stand-up, or you can email me or Venmo me. The email would be PayPal, Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can also email me. And Venmo is just @JackieCation, which is like my Instagram and my TikTok and all the things. And there's merch. There's Dork Forest merch. There's Made of Bees merch. And I don't know. There's so much stuff. I can't remember everything. You're doing vital work by listening to the Dork Short Forest, and I'm glad you are. And I hope you want to hear about somebody's dorkdom, because that's what's going to happen right now. Hey, Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation, the Dork Forest. It's my first mother and son. My first mother and son episode of the Dork Forest. It is my co-host from the Jackie and Lori Show, Lori Kilmartin, and her son Atticus. And they really like anime a great deal. I think Atticus has lent it to him. So if you want to know more about Atticus's anime obsession, by the way, you would have to go to youtube.com/@PajamaAtticus. And Lori Kilmartin is @AnnieLori16, and she does stand up absolutely everywhere. And if you go to Lori Kilmartin, you'll know about all those things and the Jackie and Lori Show. But specifically, July 20th, my birthday, she'll be in London.
Not great. Your birthday.
7 days after my birthday, she'll be in London. You guys can talk about how much you love Attack on Titan, or you can have a mother-son experience. One of those two things can happen. But I don't know anything about it except for that big people eat little people. And that's all I know about it. It's Atticus, you want to start us out with, is it live action?
Is what
live action? It's anime. The TV show that you supposedly like.
Oh my God.
Do you enjoy the TV show Attack on Titan?
Oh yes, it's very good. I love that TV show so much. I've watched all four seasons.
Was there manga before that? Did you read any of that?
Mm-hmm. There was a manga before. I read the manga after season three ended because I couldn't wait for season four. So I read the manga for that. I read the manga for season four, and then I stopped reading the manga because season four came out, and so I was like, I'll wait for the anime to wrap up.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, so why are there big people and they're little people? I don't understand.
First of all, let's pull back a little bit. This anime is about war and the futility of it and the endless cycles of people attacking each other and demonizing each other, dehumanizing each other. Maybe I'm making this up, but to me, a lot of the guy who created it is Japanese, and he's going to be about our age, which means he's the child of the children who survived World War II, survived the bombing of Japan and the complete desolation of Japan, and obviously the atomic weapons. And so you can see that in the war that they show you here on Attack on Titan.
Is that true of a lot of anime, like older anime?
Yeah.
It doesn't sort of... Is it a dystopian future?
It's not dystopian. There's so many allegories of World War II, but in different ways. And imagine, you know, you have a couple seasons where you're trapped with like interned Jews and they're being attacked by these gigantic Nazis, right? And so of course you hate these Nazis and you're siding with the people that you're interned with. And then season four, they go behind the walls of what you think are the Nazis and you find out a lot of incredible stuff about their background. And now you're sympathizing with them. Not that you've lost it with the Jews, but you're like, oh, I see how this happened. Right. And
oh, weird.
It's incredible. There's this one character named Reiner. And I was like, I hate this guy. He was a spy. He got a lot of like characters I loved killed. And then season four, by the end of it, my heart is broken for Reiner because I see how they broke him, how they made him into what he became, and how he hated who he became because he had been embedded with the island people and became aware of their humanity and realized how wrong he had been raised, you know? But he's also trapped in a situation. He's got to do stuff or his family's going to get killed. And so... Okay. And you see how all this sort of the trauma of seeing a terrible attack. The lead character's name is Aaron. He witnesses his mother being eaten by a titan, right? Okay. And so you've got this core trauma that follows this guy throughout the entire series, and he becomes very unlikable, as one would. And you know, I watched a couple. Like I haven't seen. Like I watched it twice. Watched it first with my son. And then when season four was coming out, I rewatched the whole thing because there's so much to remember and there's so many different storylines. And I was like, I can't just pick it up at season four without rewatching the whole thing. And so
how many episodes are there?
Oh, what do you think?
100?
60 or so? 70 total?
60 or 70?
Mm-hmm.
Six, seven?
Oh my okay. God. Jackie, he's still a teenager. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, what makes me laugh is that you were like, he loves the show and we love this show and I love this show. And I'm going to ask him questions about it real quick.
Okay.
So here's what I have seen, Atticus. I have seen episode one. It seemed a little dark. I did not watch anymore. So there were people who lived in a walled city.
An island.
And then.
Yes.
It's a walled city. It's a walled city.
On an island. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't remember the water. So they're on an island and they're all walled up so that the giant Titan guys can't get to them. Is that correct?
Yes. They're just called Titans. Yes.
And then we see the initial child, and the child is Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Atticus, you want to tell me about him and his two friends?
Should I
and
do myself?
What happens? You're very excited about it. Yeah.
Sorry, what was the question? We're gonna.
So tell me what's the first arc? What is the, if I start watching this thing and I don't want to just see a giant humanoid eat a tiny humanoid,
yeah.
Why am I going to continue? I mean, is that what drew you to it? You were like, oh, cool.
What drew me to it was exactly that, but also it's very well animated. It utilizes a lot of 3D CG backgrounds and blends it in with 2D animated characters. At least the first season does. I thought the animation was very cool.
Right, the way that just the art was cool and the way it looked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The way everything moved. Yeah. They were working on the first season as it was airing. So they weren't even done with it. So they were. Yeah.
So when you started watching it, that they were producing it as you started watching it.
Well, as they were making, as season one aired, I didn't watch like season one until season two came out.
Okay, so you available to you when you started watching it was two seasons.
Yeah.
And so is this kid a kid the whole time through the four seasons, or does he grow up? Because Laurie referred to him as a man.
He grows up a lot. We get him as a kid in season one, and then half what?
So is there a time jump between the two seasons?
In season one, he's a child. And in the same season, we get a time jump to where he's like a teenager and whatnot. And then in between season three and four, there's a big time jump where it's like 5 years have passed. And then Aaron's now a grown up. Everyone's grown. And now they're facing the consequences of their actions.
Okay. Now, so here's what I know is that Aaron and his friends have been attacked by a Titan. His mom gets killed, and he's like, I'm going to become a soldier and go, we're going to hunt these people down, these giant Titan, this Titan. Is there more than one Titan? I mean, is there a finite number, or is there a big?
There are definitely a lot of Titans. Are you going to watch the show ever in your life? Like, do you see?
No, and it will say spoiler. It will say spoiler all over this, so you can tell me, because I did read something about how Aaron becomes a Titan, and was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was always a Titan, pretty much, because the way they make Titans is they inject the serum into your neck. And you basically become a Titan. You just become like a bigger person. So the Titans are basically just bigger people.
Oh, they're created by
Marley, which is across the ocean, across from the island.
Is Marley another kingdom, or is it a guy?
Marley's like Germany, pretty much.
Okay, just another country. Okay.
Yeah, wait, hold on. The origin of the Titans don't come from Marley. They end up in Marley. The Titans end up in Marley, but the origin comes from, I think a king. And it comes from this parasite, and this parasite leeches on to this daughter. And she gets the power of all of the nine Titans. And these nine Titans have specific powers to them. And so the king had his daughter's children eat her so that they could get her Titan powers.
It's Grimm's fairy tales, too. It's incredible.
Yeah. Okay, so one little girl, or one girl child,
mm-hmm.
Gets infected with the parasites, so she... Does she look like a normal sized kid, and then she can turn into a Titan, like mm-hmm. a transformer kind of thing? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The way you turn into a Titan is that you hurt yourself, and then you turn into a Titan.
Cut yourself.
Holy cutting!
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god! Yeah, I'll never be watching this. It sounds amazing. It sounds very well written and beautifully thought out, and obviously well animated. But So there are nine of them.
There are nine because that's the number that the creator made up, and so that's because the girl had nine children, so the powers were dispersed.
There we go. Are each of the powers very distinct? Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Is it and very X-Men kind of thing, or is it? Like somebody has fire and someone has. Do you remember the powers?
Yeah, I remember the powers. There's the Attack Titan, and the Attack Titan gets mixed in with the Founding Titan. So I'm not sure which powers are which, but the Founding Titan / the Attack Titan, they can, break down the walls of the city, and beneath these walls are big gigantic titans that are capable of destroying the world.
Okay. Yeah,
well, those titans make up the wall. Like, imagine they stood up a bunch of titans and they basically put concrete on top of them, and they are the walls, which the people have no idea till one day they're somehow there's a break and there's this giant eye blinking at them. And they're like, what the fuck, right? And the founding, there's the nine big titans. They're kind of like gods, like deities, if you can think of it that way. And then there's these, the little baby titans, including the one that ate Aaron's mother, who's the first one you saw. They are former people who were pushed off a cliff so they would injure themselves and blow up and turn into titans. So it's kind of weird because they'll push these people off a cliff and there's like a little atomic bomb, and then they're a titan, which I don't know, again, maybe I'm projecting some sort of history on these imagery, but that's what it looks like to me.
Right. I think that that's a huge thing in anime is the effect of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Mm-hmm. And it created this, and it affected all
and
of their
the whole war. I mean, it was all decimated, yeah. You know? So, I mean, if you look at our parents, my parents were born in 1930 and 37, and yours were probably around that time or a little later, but those kids went through all that in Japan. So if they survived that and then they had kids, we lost my son. I guess he'll come back, I hope. Or I don't know, maybe he's going to run away. then
it'd be funny if he just showed up right behind you going, I get it. You want to talk about Titan. But I will say that there's founding Titan, and then there's the titans that I saw in that first
episode. Can be constantly created because why I made the analogy to Jews is that there are people that they call Eldians, and the Eldians have this ability to turn into titans if you cut them. And so there's some of them on Marley, and they've been told their whole lives there's these devils living on this other island called Paradis, not knowing those are their genetic cousins, right? And like they're the same. So they just got separated by a king who wanted to, you know, wall out a bunch of his people, right? And so they are believing these Eldians are the enemy, and they later find out, oh, we're not, we're the same.
Although, we're family. Yes.
So now do I still have loyalty to my country, Marley, where my family lives, where they may be, where it's almost like North Korea in a way. We're like, yeah, but if you do anything, if you go to South Korea, if you, you know, escape to South Korea, we'll kill your family here. So where's your loyalty? Okay, it'll still be to Kim Jong-un, right?
Right. It's so, so here's the thing. So the founding titans are essentially the nine children of the daughter.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And they get turned into the walls of Attack on Titan in the story.
No, not the founding. Hey, Atticus's internet is not working. So, can we pause for what? Oh, wait, here he comes.
Yeah.
Back.
I'm back.
Okay.
I'm
using my phone cellular data. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, that sounds expensive. So but here's what I've learned since you have been gone is that it is not the founding titans that make up the wall.
No.
But there were two of them that were in the wall. Is that right?
No. No. Aaron is, it turns out, one of the founding titans. He has no idea till things start happening and he starts getting his father's memories. And then he starts to see what happened and what he has in him. He realizes he's a titan during the middle of a fight where what happens? He gets injured and then he blows up and turns into a titan and everyone's shocked. Is that the thing?
I saw on Wikipedia that he got ate. Did he get eaten?
Oh, is that it? Right, Atticus?
Yeah, he gets eaten, he gets swallowed by a titan, and then he pops out of the guy.
And he pops out of the guy, or he takes over the guy.
He pops out of him. Because he's...
Oh, as another titan.
Yeah.
And does the titan that ate him, become a lot of goo, or does he stay alive?
Yeah, it just becomes a lot of goo. Every time a titan, like, dies, they steam away. They emit steam, and then they're gone.
Oh, tidy. That's very Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
But you know what? I was just watched you know, I felt bad because I was like, oh, we should have done a full rewatch before we did this. And we haven't.
You know? You don't realize that this show is only an hour. You're almost 20 minutes in. So,
and
we're going to do another episode just with Atticus about the art. But it's fine. Whatever happens, if people love, because people love Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
I have, people have asked me to do an episode about Attack on Titan. And I'm like, great.
I, you know what? I feel like you should have got Iffy to do it with Atticus and not me. But, you know, oh, well.
Wait, the stand-up comic Iffy, yes, who hosts yes, actually on, yes, Dropout TV?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Is, well, he a big fan of?
Yes, he's a massive anime fan. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, so is everybody, including yourself. Yes.
I'm sure I'd be talking just as much, you know, with him in the fall.
As Lori just ducks out of screen. It's, well, if it were, I don't usually do two guests because of this, because it's very hard. No, it's not. It's if I, because if it's not one of the guests knowing more than the other, then it's me dominating such a thing. So eventually you will get to talk, Atticus. Do you have a favorite character in Attack on Titan of those four seasons?
Definitely Gabby. Gabby's really cool. She's
who is she, a Titan or is she a human?
No, so in Marley they train teenagers to become Titans. Or they train a specific few set of teenagers to be Titans, and she's one of the few that wants to take Reiner's armored Titan from him.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. And what is she? Is Attack on Titan funny? Is it
like kinda? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're sometimes. Are they riffing or are they? Is it anime? Is it like Naruto funny or Dragon Ball Z funny where they're just eating a lot?
No. Definitely not. Yeah.
Okay. That's a different kind of anime. Yeah.
They have good jokes in them.
Okay. So yeah. There is some actual, like. Do they feel like whole characters?
Mm-hmm, like
like Gabby is. What, Lori? Who is your favorite character?
Okay, wait. Can I just explain a little bit? So Gabby is one of the Eldians that's being held captive, right? And so when one of these kids is like made into a Titan, when they inherit the Titan power, they have about 12 years of life left. So once it's kind of a death sentence, right? Oh, it definitely is a death sentence. And it kind of reminds me of how like the Soviet Union used to pick kids, like you're going to be you're going to be a gymnast. And I don't care if you don't like it, you're going to figure it out. You're going to be a gymnast. Like they used to do that. So that's kind of what the Marleyans do, how they pick out the Eldian kids. Now, the other Eldians are just subjected to, you know, they literally are wearing armbands, you know, that identify them as Eldian. The analogies are like right on point and sometimes they're a little blurry.
Right.
And so Gabby is one of the young kids who's going to be, who's being groomed to be, was she the cart Titan or?
Gabby?
Yeah.
No, she didn't get a Titan.
Oh, she didn't?
No.
Okay. But she was being groomed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So,
yeah. Okay. So wait, do all Eldians, can they all become Titans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they can.
So
and,
do they have to just choose to become, they also have to actively go, I would also like to be a Titan.
Yeah. Or else it's like, you get this guy, there's a beast Titan. And
okay.
And if you drink his spinal fluid, which they do to a lot of Eldians, if you drink his spinal fluid, if he screams, you turn into Titans just like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's either choosing to become a Titan and like having at least like a brain, or choosing to eventually be drafted
and then you sort of become a mindless Titan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the founding, the nine founders go back and forth between human and Titan at will, right?
Oh, so they're full people.
Yes, yes, yes. And so that's why Aaron didn't realize he had that in him until he was eaten. And then his, I guess his anxiety or his injury made it, it kind of triggered it. And he became the Titan that was always residing within him. And the ones Atticus was just talking about with the spinal fluid, it's like if you are Eldian, you are genetically predisposed to becoming a Titan if you get the spinal fluid. And so I just watched the first episode of season four to catch up on season four. And there's this really horrific scene where they have like 30 Eldians, men, right? And they're in these like straitjackets, like that go all the way down to your legs. So they cannot move. And they're tied to these little, like a dolly that's just going to push them out of a plane. And as they're in the air, the beast Titan that Atticus was just talking about does his noise, and they turn into these giant babies. Now they're that way forever now. Like when it's regular people, regular Eldians, it's over. Now all of a sudden,
essentially, you've been drafted and you get turned into a grunt.
Yes.
And okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I see. Now here's my next question: is who is your favorite? Do you have a favorite Titan or a favorite character?
My favorite character is not a Titan. It's or Titan even eligible. It's a guy named Levi Ackerman. He's a fighter. There's a super cool crew of these fighters, these scouts that go out and kill Titans, right? And they live inside the walls. And
that's who Aaron tried to join. That's what he wanted to join.
He did join. Okay. He was one. And during a fight, that's when he turned into a Titan. That's when he realized he had that thing. And that's when they all realized, oh my God, okay, Aaron is a Titan. What's a Titan, right?
Right, because then they would think that he was a bad guy, right?
Right. So they were like, oh, we secretly have a good Titan. They didn't realize about all the founders and all this yet. They have no idea. All they know is these giant naked baby things will eat them if they're nearby. So they're trying to fight, right? And
right.
So Levi is like this really great fighter, and it's one of my most embarrassing age inappropriate anime crushes. Is Levi, but he's such a, and he's got like this really cynical voice, and he's been there, like he's just seen so much death and destruction that it, like the voice just makes him so heavy, and maybe that's why I like him. And also, he's not real.
Right, that also helps. Are you watching it? You're not watching it dubbed, right?
No. No, okay. Wait, we watch it dubbed, yeah.
Subbed, subtitled.
Yeah. Subtitled? Okay. Yeah, because I read a review that's... You watched it dubbed as well?
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen it subtitled and dubbed?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Okay, so you have seen it. Yeah. And I heard that it's good both ways, actually. Mm-hmm. That they did a pretty good job on the dubbing voices. And Okay, so the first season... is we get Aaron and his friends become scouts, and they go and just kill Titans until what, middle of the first season? Is that when he gets eaten and finds out that he is also a Titan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or is that the cliffhanger? Oh, no, middle. Okay. So then they spend the rest of the season one trying to figure out what a Titan is and why he, and so does the show do, and how long is each show? Is it like an hour?
It's like 20 minutes. Season one is
20 minutes.
Season one is 24 episodes. Season two is like 12. Season three is 24. And then season four is like 36 episodes long.
And they're all just less than a half an hour. Okay. Yeah. That's all right. So that's more doable. We have Crunchyroll. So I could watch this on Crunchy. I want, you know what I want? I want to have seen it. I don't want to see it. I just wish I knew, which is one of the reasons why I have the Dork Forest, you guys. Anyway, so that's half of the first season. And the second half of the first season is them trying to figure, is there a cliffhanger at the end of the second season? The first season, rather, that makes you want to wait for the second season? Or is it just... the journey continues.
Less of a cliffhanger and more like the journey continues, because after that middle half, there's this character named Annie, and it's revealed that she's the female Titan.
Oh.
And they call her the female Titan because every other Titan's male.
Oh, or wait a minute, like Smurfs? Like there's only there's like all it's all just dude grunts, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden there's Annie, the female Titan,
yeah,
Lady Smurf. Okay, and does she now? Is she a founding Titan? Can she go back to human size as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and do her and Aaron have, is that it become some sort of love interest? Is there a romance?
No, okay. No.
Because I was like, well, why bother, if they're doing just all dudes, why bother creating a female Titan, do you think?
What? So, wait a minute, you think we should only have female characters and things so that men can fuck them? What? Excuse me?
Yes!
That's the male gaze.
Yes.
The male gaze says. Right. And that's what I have traditionally noticed in television, movies, books, and everything. And especially video games, which anime a little bit reminds me of. But I like the fact, I'm happy to be wrong, obviously. So Annie is a whole person all by herself and is not out there working the room. Trying to get some action. Is that what hearing?
There is no romance in this show. Zero.
There's no romance in the show. Again, this may not be for me, but it does sound incredibly cool. So is she a badass? Annie?
She's more like a horrible person, but yeah.
Oh, really?
But when you go, she's a scout. Right, and there's several scouts.
No, she was in the military police.
I'm sorry.
But Yes,
she's from the other place. There's several that are spies. So Reiner and Bertolt are the scouts, and they so they're you know working with Levi and Aaron and Mikasa to hunt Titans, and at the same time they're founding Titans themselves.
Wait, Annie's a scout. And, I think.
Yeah. Wait, so she is both. A bad guy, but she's embedded as a spy.
Yeah.
Working with what we consider to be the good guys so far.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And do we know as soon as we find out she's a Titan that she is a spy or
no? Because she crystallizes herself. She plays it off.
And what does that do? Does that make her into part of the wall?
So. There's Titans can do like they can crystallize parts of themselves and like you could put like some glaze on your hand and you know and right. it can be used as brass knuckles or
got it okay
so she glazed all over herself and so
they thought that she was not in control kind of thing
No. What? Could you?
She hardened herself. We're all still reeling from you saying she blazed.
She made herself hard.
She hardened herself. Yes.
And then, how did that make everyone know that she wasn't a spy?
They didn't know she was a spy. That they just knew that she caused calamity because the island people don't know that Marley is even a thing. They don't know what's outside those walls.
Oh, because they for 100 years they've been living outside these. They've been living inside.
Longer, yeah.
And their memories were taken from them, so they don't have a memory of before 100 years ago. So
they just know
they're trapped behind these gigantic walls, and there are giant titans outside the walls that will eat them if they are exposed to them.
Okay, so what is the second? Is the second season we learn? More that everybody's not bad or good. Like what happens in this? Do you know what happens in the second season?
Because
it jumps ahead and now is Aaron a full scout?
Yeah.
And
Aaron's
also a Titan.
Aaron's a full scout and also a Titan. There's this, woman named Ymir.
Okay.
And she is revealed to be the Jaw Titan. And but she's in the Scout Regiment, and she's revealed to be the Jaw Titan, basically. All right. A big jaw, the strongest jaw, just eat anything no matter how hard it is.
Crunch, mm-hmm. including the walls.
She can, but she doesn't do that. So
okay, she mostly just eats the peoples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or she doesn't eat people. She defends her girlfriend Historia.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a little romance.
And other girl titans.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. The Jaw Titan isn't a girl, even though you can be a girl.
Yep.
And be a titan, but you wouldn't have like boobs or anything.
Like once you're a titan, you're just you have the male form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just to reiterate, this is just the founding titan stuff. The nine. Okay. Okay, that's what he's talking about.
I'm talking about every titan because
then they're genderless. When they do the spinal fluid push and they just turn a normal person into titan, they're sort of like these. No one has genitals. They're just sort of like these genderless versions of themselves that are giant babies or really disgusting looking. You can kind of tell who they used to be, but not, you know, they look very different too.
Yeah.
Okay, so the grunts just they lose all sense of whether they were men or women or
mm-hmm. yeah, they're just brainless. They're brainless people eaters.
Boxes of humanity, but giant boxes. Okay. At which point does Aaron and his team find out about Marley?
Around season 3. Because when Aaron kisses Historia's hand, because now she's the queen.
Okay.
Because Historia is of royal blood, Aaron's founding titan, which only activates when touching royal DNA.
Okay.
That's when he gets the visions of the future, the visions of his father. And he gets visions of the history of everything and what's going to happen in the future. So he gets.
He learns everything, like everything his dad did or his dad knew, mm-hmm. and then he gets a vision of how it's all going to play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God! Does it play out the way he envisions it, or does he try to fight it?
He can't change it.
Okay.
He can't change how it plays out, no matter what. Yeah.
Does he live? Does anybody get a nice farm at the end of this and have a nice life afterwards?
Yeah, it has
does it have a happy ending?
Like
season 4?
If you remove the part where 80% of the world's population was trampled to death, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that is important to me, that 80% of the world's population should not be trampled to death. Okay.
But the characters are left in a good place, which is why I would consider it surviving. A happy ending.
Are there favorite scenes? Like, what's your favorite scene in, I don't know, any season or any part of the, like, when did you first go, I need to watch this again? But now I want to watch it dubbed because I want to also draw while I do this. I assume that's what you're doing when you're watching it dubbed so that you don't have to, you can just pay attention sideways while you also do another task.
Oh, no, I watched it without. Yeah.
Really?
I just watched
focus,
it. Yeah.
Focus. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you have any favorite scenes?
There's a scene where Bertolt and Reiner, the colossal and armored titan, they're with Aaron on top of this wall, and and all the scouts are there because they just retook one of the cities, right? From the titans, and they're on top of this wall, and very casually, like off screen. Reiner tells Aaron that he's the colossal titan and he's the armored titan. And this is a big deal because he's telling them that they're spies. And also the Colossal and Armored Titan are the reason why Aaron's mom is dead.
Oh my gosh. So yeah. That does sound like a really pivotal scene.
Yeah, but it's the dialogue is all in the background. It's all in the background because the characters telling, because Reiner telling Aaron doesn't treat it as if it's a big deal. Because he just says, "Oh, I'm the Armored Titan, he's a Colossal. Let's go. Let's just go back." You know.
Oh. And then what is on the screen? Just the battle?
What's on screen is that they're just on the wall talking.
Oh, they're
to
just
each other.
Standing there. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're just standing there. And then once Aaron realizes this, Aaron's like, "No, there's no way I'm coming back with you guys. You guys low-key killed my mom, so I can't do that."
Right.
And then Reiner and Bertolt are like, "We're gonna have to take you by force." And then that's when the scouts versus the Colossal Titan and Armored Titan.
And that's when that fight happens. And what season is that?
That's season two.
And they were trying to take him back to Marley so that they could eat him and get his founding Titan in a Marleyan instead of having Aaron have it.
I see.
Isn't that right, hon? If a Titan is eaten by another Titan, that the power's transferred, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you have more than one power? Like if you ate all of the founding, all of the powers?
You would have all of the powers. There's this one scene where it's the Jaw Titan versus Aaron, and then there's another Titan called the Warhammer Titan.
Okay.
And the Warhammer Titan instead of being in the Titan itself, it creates this crystallized body and it buries the original body underground.
Oh, wow.
And Aaron takes that crystallized body and he can't break it no matter what. And so he somehow gets the... he somehow grabs the Jaw Titan's head and forces the Jaw Titan to break the crystallization with its mouth, and then Aaron eats the Warhammer Titan's blood.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And then he becomes the Warhammer Titan as well then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a part of the Warhammer Titan becomes him. So he's the attack, Warhammer, and founding. Yeah.
And then he becomes an incredible menace. He has way too much power, and he wants to kill. He still is of the belief that he had as a child when he saw his mother die of everyone else needs to die except everyone that lives on this island. So
okay,
now he wants to kill 80% of the world, and now he has the powers to do it because he has swallowed the Warhammer. And in addition to that, it was already the founding and the attack Titan. So that's when it becomes really dangerous. And his friends from Paradis, who have always been on his side, are like, "Oh my fucking God, we have to stop this monstrosity." And they don't have the power to stop him, like physical power. So they are trying to use the emotional connection, the friendship since childhood, his adopted sister, Mikasa, who's also an incredible fighter. The fight scenes with Mikasa are amazing. She's so fast and smart and great. So that's a lot of the end of season four. Is that right?
Is that when the 80% gets trampled?
That's the season where 80% of it. That's the end game because Aaron's too far gone, and he sends all of the Wall Titans, all of the Colossal Titans out to trample the world.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wow. He never gets the compassion that a lot of other characters got, you know, like he never changed from that 10-year-old kid who saw his mother being eaten. Now, here's the interesting thing. So Aaron's father originally came from Marley. He kind of snuck onto Paradis. He had a family in Marley. And then he has a son who is the Beast Titan, who's a really terrible, right? The Beast. And mm-hmm. he had a first wife, right? And then his first wife was forcibly turned into a Titan, like pushed off and turned into a mindless Titan. That's the person that ate Aaron's mother.
Oh.
Like, you only figure that out in season four. Like, what? That's, I know that Titan. Okay, that ate, first, I've seen that one in Aaron's horror memories.
His dad's first wife ate right. his second wife?
Yes.
You say there's no romance. That's insane. So, okay. So is your favorite scene the adopted sister fight scene? Or do you have, is that one of your favorite scenes? Or?
It's hard to pick a favorite, but as I was just rewatching, there was one scene where I was like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. I don't even think I picked up on the power of the first two times I saw it. There's a bunch of scouts, including Aaron. This is season three, right? So they're older and they kind of know about themselves, right? They know.
Okay.
They know how Titans are created now. So they have some empathy for Titans, right? So that there's like this baby Titan, like it's a human face and this really weird body and these little tiny arms and legs. And it's been crawling like this for God knows how long to try, you know, because it has this urge to get to the city to eat people, even though it would never be able to do anything.
Right.
And they come up on it and they're like, oh my God, how did this, they've never seen a Titan so unable to fulfill its destiny of eating people, right? And now you know, maybe 5 years ago or a year ago or a month ago, this is just a normal guy who was pushing off a wall and giving some
support. Right.
Right. So they look at it and Aaron says it, you know, he puts his hand on it and he says, it's actually, this is a patriot. And he takes his hand off and instead of killing it, which they've always killed every Titan and they just ride away because they know its mouth is like stuck in the earth. Like it can't do any harm. It's just a pathetic, sad creature. And they kind of stayed on the eye of this Titan for a second. And there's a little wobble and you're like, you could almost see the person that this Titan was and the horror of maybe it's aware that it's stuck in this body and it can't stop it. And it's, what's that movie? Johnny Got His Gun or something where it's a kid who's trapped in his brain and everyone thinks he's just in a coma and he's actually fully functional. And you're like, what if they're all like this? And they're all trapped in there in the horror of this body with this urges that you can't control. I don't know. That one really got to me.
Just kind of blew your mind.
Just a quick shot. Mm-hmm.
Here's a question. Is there a way to undo the tightening of people? Can you unbaby them or unmake them? Mm-hmm. You can.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
At the end of season four, Connie, John, and all of the, and everybody around, they got turned into Titans at the end, at the last episode of the show. But then, once, Aaron, died and gave himself the permission to, make everyone untighten themselves. That's when they revert back to being.
Oh, I forgot. See, normal. I gotta watch it again. I forgot that.
Wait, yeah. So Aaron dies because Aaron has released the trampling and then
the rumbling.
Everyone is like, right. And he's trying to get, and his friends are trying to connect with him emotionally to get him to stop being this
monster.
Using all of his powers for evil. Yeah. And how does he eventually die?
Mikasa cuts off his head.
Oh, there you go.
Now,
That's
his adopted sister who is in love with him, who longs for him the entire series, who's always cared for him. And she, in the end, she has to decapitate him to save the world.
To save the world. And now, once he has died, how is that turned into, explain again, Atticus, how it is turned into the option to untighten yourself. Like, does he untighten people? No.
Aaron made that decision right before he died. Like, but
okay,
before death.
He knew
before
that.
Death.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so some redemption. So Aaron has, there's a little bit of redemption there if he's making that kind of decision before, but he knows he has to be killed kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
Like, it's sort of like the Terminator.
Himself.
Yeah. The Terminator. Yeah. You gotta get the last chip. And, and so, well, that's, oh, that's fascinating. Interesting. And then there were movies after the four seasons, right? Weren't there several 60-minute and a 90-minute?
They made compilation movies, basically.
Oh, is that what they are?
Yeah,
so they're, it's that you don't have to watch all, because I just looked it up, 94 episodes. You don't have to watch 94 episodes. You could watch instead these 60-minute compilations.
That mm-hmm. sort of yeah. sum yeah, to up. Get like the watered-down experience. Yeah, pretty much.
You know, it's an hour a day. You get three episodes in an hour, right? And
yeah,
in
20.
In 1 month, you'll have watched all of Attack on Titan.
I like, see, this is why it's a dorkdom. You're like, just take a month,
or
three episodes a day. It's not going to kill you.
Maybe a little more than a month. Sorry, I'm redoing my math.
But I just like that you're like, you have the time to do this.
You really
do. Watch the watered down version. You want to see this? See it right.
Because there's so much happening in it, and there's so many allegories in it, and it's beautifully done, and there's stuff I've already forgotten that I need to rewatch, because just when I was just rewatching to prepare for this, I almost wanted to cancel. I'm like, Jackie, there's so much I forgot. There's like an encyclopedia, and I'm giving you Wikipedia, you know?
I know. I received and it's only, I mean, there's only 10 more minutes, you guys. So I don't know if there's other favorite people and other favorite episodes, and how did it do anything? Like, when was, I know that this was manga first, and I think it was written in this century, like 2004 or something. And I think it started as anime in 2013. But was there... Is there something that you didn't know before you started watching it that you kind of learned about, I don't know, about Japanese society, about humanity, and about yourselves? Is it anything, like, there's got to be something that draws you, like, when people say that they like horror films, for example, I have always been like, I am already scared. Why would you want to be scared? And someone has explained to me previously that they get something cathartic out of it. Mm-hmm. It gets all their scared out by going to see a scary movie, and then they can sleep at night because they're not scared anymore. And I was like, all right, if it works, it works. What do you think you got out of this, and what makes you want to see it? Because you want to see it again and again. Is it the characters? Is it the story? Is it the heart of it? What is it?
Definitely the characters. The characters are pretty much the only reason that I would watch maybe Attack on Titan like a third time. There's this one guy named Floke. He's a really good character. He saw his entire squad, dozens of his teammates just get decimated by the Beast Titan, because the Beast Titan's huge.
Okay.
And the Beast Titan crushes boulders and throws rock shrapnel at these scouts.
At the people. Yeah.
At the people. And Floke is the only survivor of the people who ran in. So he's so he's completely traumatized. That experience changes him.
Right.
And what he learns from that is that he needs like a good leader or someone to lead him, because he's so confused and lost. And then he finds Aaron, and he basically becomes Aaron's right hand man in assisting in the genocide.
Okay, because so what he needs is, he needs direction, because he's mm-hmm. just so traumatized. He's like, I just need someone to point me in a direction.
Yeah.
It just blew his mind so bad.
Yeah. So yeah, he goes all radical and sides with Aaron, but he's such a good character. He's so good.
Here's a side question. The Beast Titan, when he throws the rocks at the people, do the founding Titans or the nine, do they eat people too?
The foundings don't eat people, right?
The foundings don't eat people unless, yeah, they don't.
Unless you're
eat
trying
people.
To take that. Unless
they're trying to take the Titan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And is there? Yeah. Cannibalism is so weird. Yeah.
What else? Yeah. It is grotesque. So you want to get over that. Because watching these giant titans eat people is disgusting. But, you know, I mean, Jackie, I'm not the first to say it, but war is hell.
It is hell. And it's very much, it's a very graphic depiction of actual war as opposed to ranged shooting of people.
Yeah.
Where you're like, and then they fall down and then you go on with your life.
Well, you know,
this is someone going, I'm going to kill you and eat.
Yeah, what's interesting is they're just like animals. They're not even saying I'm going to kill you. They're just animals looking for people to eat. Most of the names are German, except for Mikasa is not a German name. I don't know if it's Japanese, but most of the names of the characters are German, which is sort of weird or interesting. And then it seems
Mikasa, I think she's Asian, definitely Asian because she's a descendant from the. From the people
the Ackermans.
That give, yeah, no,
just
no,
not an Asian name, but yeah, she and Levi are both Ackermans, although they're like super distantly related. It's not like they knew each other before they met.
Is that their last name, the Ackermans? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, dude, because. Like, what's Levi's last name?
Like, you live next door to an Ackerman, I'm sure. We all did. But also, it seems to take place around the time of World War One in terms of the technology. Like, they're riding horseback. They have carts. And so they don't seem to have electricity inside the walls and stuff like that. And then the only thing that's very accelerated is the weaponry that the scouts have, and it allows them to jet around and fly through forests. And they use these
jetpacks.
Yeah, kind of. They're on their legs, right? The jetpacks a little bit, and they have these
on their waist, on their hips.
Yeah, they have these hooks that they can throw to a tree, and then they throw themselves forward. Via the hook and then
they
retract
swing?
And do it again. Yes,
they don't.
The verb I'm looking for is swing. Yes,
they don't swing. They propel with air tanks that they have in their. Yeah.
Oh, is it steampunky?
I don't think so.
Kind of,
because there's no dirigibles and any sort of an old time.
A little bit later.
Show up.
Yeah, there is a. Dirigible later on. That's how they sneak into Marley. But the fight scenes are really cool. And when the scouts are swinging through the trees and attacking Titans and winning, it's like some of the coolest looking fighting I've seen in anime. Would you agree, hon?
And you guys have seen a lot of anime.
Yeah.
Is there other anime that has better fight scenes or comparable or
definitely. Yeah. There's One Punch Man season one has definitely better fights. Jujutsu Kaisen does.
Okay. And are those both current? Like are they this century also animes?
Pretty current. Yeah.
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 Okay.
And then
last 25 years. Okay.
Yeah. Evangelion's pretty good with their fight scenes.
It's a rich vein, the anime.
Yeah.
Literally, I think I've only done Miyazaki before this. And I enjoy Miyazaki. And I also enjoy Wallace and Gromit, which is an anime. That's claymation. Anyway, you guys, as far as I'm concerned, it's an hour. We're going to have a lot of ads. There's going to be all kinds. We did it. There are so many things that didn't happen. And what everyone who listened to this, they knew that it was a spoiler. And so they are just going, yes, but my favorite character was this one. Mm-hmm. But they're also psyched at the ones that you mentioned. So let me just say that Lori Kilmartin is at AnnieLori16, and that's Instagram and all the things. Mm-hmm. And then LoriKilmartin.com or Kilmartin.com is where her website is, and it has tour dates and all this type of thing. If you are in London on July 27th, the Soho Theater, you can get tickets at her website.
And the 28th.
Their website.
Yeah.
And the 28th. There you go. And then the Jackie and Lori Show is a podcast that I do with Lori Kilmartin weekly, where we bitch and celebrate about stand-up comedy. Atticus, on the other hand, has a YouTube channel where he, I think, almost exclusively talks about anime. Is that true?
People watch me voice over stuff, so it could be anime.
Is it mostly anime, or
it's a mix between anime and American made, or just animation in general.
Oh, yeah, animation in general. Okay, I love it, and it's youtube.com/@pajamaatticus. All that will be in the notes. You guys are great. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks, and Jackie.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And remember the rules out there. Take care of each other, Rangers.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?